Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5. 2 Kings, chapter 5. Now, if you didn't get your Bible reading in this morning, I'll help you. We're going to read verse 17 verses of this chapter. I believe it's a story that we can all identify with. It's a story of the conversion of a heathen man named Naaman. And Naaman was a great guy. As far as his society went, and a great military leader. Well, let's notice the word of God, 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Assyrians had gone out on raids and brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would heal him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, Thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel. Then the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. That's more than most of you and I spend in a year. Okay. Verse 6. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel and said, "Now be advised when this letter comes to you that I have sent Naaman my servant to you that you may heal him of his leprosy." And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me." So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes and that he had sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy." Verse 12, "Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be made clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God and all his aides, and came and stood before him, and he said, "Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now therefore, please take a gift from your servant." But he said, this would be Elisha, "As the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will receive nothing." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. So Naaman said, "Then if not, then please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth, for your servant will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord." Father, I thank you, Lord, for your presence here this day, and I pray, Lord, your anointing upon your servant to speak your word upon all of us, Lord, to hear and to receive of you. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to talk about this morning for a few minutes on the conversion of a heathen. And you may know people you think are heathen. Yeah, don't look at your companion. But anyway, it is basically defined a heathen as somebody that has no use for the Christian God or salvation through the blood of Jesus or anything of what we believe. But we live in a society today that is somewhat heathen. In a society where anything goes, and we must realize that the church must not blindly accept things that are forbidden by God. We must not willingly commit sin when we know God said it's wrong. Jesus came to see people, save people from things that would destroy their lives. And there's people that say, well, the church people have too many restrictions. God restricts his people from things that will destroy them and is destroying people every day that partake of those things. And God's word clearly spells out things that will destroy people's lives. And God does not want you to keep be destroyed. The devil does. The thief, the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God is about life. He said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Among young people today, not all young people, but a huge percentage of young people in our nation today are going into the pagan practice of Wicca. Instead of going to Christ for salvation, and much of this is because we have a generation of people who have not been raised in church, and father and mother have not taken them to church, and they have no fear of God in their life, and so they're looking for something else that will try to satisfy the spiritual need that they have in their life. But I want to tell you, only God can fill that spiritual need. But in this religion, or this pagan practice, there are no morals attached to this religion. Anything goes. This is basically witchcraft under another name, and it is heathen. And witchcraft is really defined in Scripture where it says, for rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. That ought to convict anybody and everybody at some time in your life. Everybody's been stubborn at times. I just thought I'd impart that word of knowledge to you. Everybody has been rebellious at times. Maybe not strongly rebellious, but rebellion is something that God defined as a sin of witchcraft when he spoke to Samuel about Saul. In the book of Deuteronomy, God places restrictions on anything that's outside of him. And he says, there shall not be found any one among you who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire. That means child sacrifice. Or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. Necromancer is a word for it. People that try to communicate with the dead. But Jesus said, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. God's plan for every person is for that they repent and turn to him, that they by faith receive what Jesus did on the cross as atonement for their sins, that they be born again of God's Spirit, their name be written in heaven, and they go to heaven. That's God's plan for humanity. God demonstrated his own love toward us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When we were the enemies of God, God loved us so much that he would die for us in our place to pay for our sins. Amen. The Apostle Paul was a miracle of deliverance. We're all a miracle of grace if you're born again. And Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul said that of himself. And church, we are called to win the lost at any cost. Some years ago, a retired minister told me, he said, we got to talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we got talking about missions and spreading the gospel to the world. And he told me, and he'd preached in my church, and he's a good man, but I didn't agree with him on this statement. And he said, oh, I gave up winning the whole world to Jesus for a long time ago. Well, let me tell you something. As your pastor and as this congregation, we haven't given up on that. We believe it's God's will for the lost to be saved. The Bible tells us when we're born again, it said, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a purchased people of his own, that you should proclaim the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We're here to proclaim that we have the answer, not an answer of one of many answers, but the only answer, and that is Christ. So we find here in the reading of Scripture that God reaches out to a heathen man. He reaches out to a man that's undeserving of any of the grace or the mercy of God. And you and I fall into that category as well, because regardless of how heathen or how little heathen that you've been. I'm not talking about a age there. I've met a few little ones. But anyway, here Naaman was an honorable man. He was a commander of an army that was against Israel. God had used Syria many times to bring judgment upon Israel because of their idolatry. And here he's described in verse 1 as an honorable man in the eyes of his master because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor. And so he had a lot going for him. Amen. And so an honorable man had a reputation of one that had victory and power and faithfulness to fight for his country. If you were in a fight, you surely would want Naaman to be on your side because he was a mighty man of valor. But one lingering thing threatened this great man who had honor everywhere he went. He was a leper. And a leper in that day was somebody, and there is some sort of a cure for it, and there's different kinds of leprosy. And so, but it was a disease in many cases that would eventually take over the body, cause the body to rot slowly and to eat away life and eat away hope, eat away a future, and in the sinful term, eat away an eternity. In the New Testament, leprosy is a type of sin, or throughout the Bible it is. It is a sin which is incurable, and sin is incurable. Nothing could make Naaman clean. It would take a miracle of God to do this. But you see, today only the blood of Jesus can cleanse us from all sin. Sin is incurable otherwise. Without the work of Christ on the cross, without him shedding his blood, pouring out his soul into death for you and I, we don't have hope. We don't have an eternity. There's no heaven for us. There is no eternity of compassion and kindness and goodness. But with the blood of Jesus, we're washed from our sins and made acceptable to God. And we do have an eternity with God forever. He's prepared a place for us. Amen. And he has a place in his eternity for you and I if we'll accept Christ and the blood that he shed as atonement for our sins. Yet Naaman here, God saw in this heathen man something that desired truth. And God can read the story of your life. I mean, just like it was a noonday sun and it was in giant, super giant print. And many people that you see may be great in their personable abilities, yet many people are spiritually lost. And we see people today that the disease of sin is slowly and increasingly painfully eating away at their eternal soul. Many people today without Christ, all without Christ, are facing an eternity without hope, without a future, with no future relief, without eternal peace. People today without God are lost. Lost to hope, lost to restoration, lost to love, lost to life, lost to peace. Lost to any hope of a comforting word, only eternally lost. You don't want to be lost. How would you feel if you lived in the world today, just say things changed immediately right here, and never one comforting, compassionate word, never an I love you, never an I'm for you, never I'm going, you're going to make it, I'm going to help you. If you never heard any of those encouraging words from husband, wife, child, or anybody in the world, you would feel like you're lost. But you see, that's what eternity will be. It will be total and eternal separation from God, because God is peace, God is love, God is hope, God is righteousness, God is grace, God is long-suffering. Any of the fruit of the Spirit you want to name, that's who God is. Hallelujah. And so, you don't want to be lost. But here, Naaman's success in life didn't matter. And it doesn't matter today if we don't know Jesus. If people have played church, sang church songs, attended church services, joined the church, sat through numerous altar calls, and rejected the pull of the Holy Spirit, and remain lost, it's a very sad thing when a person has to face eternity lost without God. Jesus said, "For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world but yet loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" How many people could go to God and say, "God, I'll give you this if you'll give me eternal life"? Let me tell you something. The Creator owns thousands of worlds and universes that we don't even know about. He's eternal. There's nothing we can give God that'll help with our salvation. People could give every dime, all the Rockefellers could ever give every dime of the millions they've ever earned or known. Politicians in Washington could give all they've ever stolen. And it wouldn't atone for one sin. It takes God to do that. If Naaman did not come to God, all the gold and the silver and everything that he had brought to help get his leprosy settled would not help. He came a leper, and without the one true God, he would return to his master a leper. But here we find here that God uses testimony. Amen. And God uses a most unlikely source of a testimony to this heathen man, Naaman. And a little girl was one of the captives that had been brought back from one of Syria's wars, and she was an Israelite girl and knew something of God. She was raised, no doubt, to worship the one true God. She was probably raised in a godly home, yet taken from her family at a young age. And she would become a slave to Naaman's wife. But this was an irreplaceable loss to her parents, one they no doubt grieved over every day for years. Yet God chose this little girl to use in a very powerful way, yet a simple way. And this young girl is an outstanding example of a faithful witness in her current circumstance. And she delivered a message of hope for Naaman, who had no hope. Verses 2 and 3 says, "And the Assyrians had gone out on raids, and they had brought back a captive, a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, 'If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy.'" Now, I want to tell you something. This struck home to this family. Man, nobody had ever been healed of leprosy. They knew it was an incurable disease. It couldn't happen. Well, what was it this little girl saying? Who is that person there in Israel that we can go see? And this would be the prophet Elisha, who took Elijah's place when he was gone. And so God used this young girl, and God uses testimony today. We say, "Well, God don't use a testimony like mine." Yes, God uses a testimony just like yours. Because all are lost until saved. Regardless of how lost, we may credit that. A person that's away from God and does not know Christ as their Savior is just as lost. I mean, they may provide for family, they may work a job, they may not drink, cuss, smoke, or chew, or run around with those who do. Hadn't heard that one in a while, have you? But yet, they are lost because they have rejected Christ and have not accepted Him as Savior. So, testimony is powerful, and here God uses a simple testimony of this young girl. Said, "I know there's a God that can help him out." You know, a prophet by the name of Elisha knows him. In church, you and I, we have a testimony of hope for a dying world that is consumed with the leprosy of sin, and sin that eats away at people's lives, and people that die and go to a devil's hell every day because they have not either heard the truth or have not received the truth. Years ago, I was pastoring a church, not this one, but I had a walk that I did every morning, a mile walk, and I would pray during my walk, and on this walk, I began preaching while I was walking. And so, you know, and I got a little more anointed sometimes when I was just me and God. And I was walking, and I was thinking, you know, why don't people witness anymore? Why don't they just talk to somebody about their soul? Why don't they just say something for God somewhere, you know? And about the time I got back from my walk, across from my house were four young men. Every one of them had a beer. And God spoke to me. He said, "Okay, you're wondering why? There you are. Go get them." These were not nice people. They were people that fought and had been in jail, but God would not leave me alone. "You go over there. You've been talking, preaching how everybody else ought to be witnessing. Now you go witness." And so I did. Went over there, and I, whatever nice way you can say it, I said it. I just saw you over here, and I said, "I realize you people need God." And I said, "God doesn't hate you, and I don't either. But God can save you, and God can deliver you and set you free and give you life and straighten your life out, whatever may be wrong with it. And to my surprise, they said, you know, we know you're right. And we've got problems. And I said, I'll pray for you. They said, okay, pray for us. And so I did. Well, in the course of about 6 months to a year, all of those people eventually came to church and got saved. That's what God did. Not what I did, it's what God did. And so that's what testimony can do. Your testimony is as good as anybody else. You say, well, I can't testify of coming of a life, out of a life of prostitution and drugs and all that. I can't test that. You don't want that kind of testimony. But whatever testimony you've got, let God use it. You are all lost and saved from sin, so let God use you. So this young girl, she delivered a message of hope for Naaman. And there are helpless people who need our testimony. If they didn't need it, God wouldn't have told us to testify, but he did. And so Naaman came looking for deliverance God or man's way. And his king or his ruler, he sent out a letter and sent it to the king of Israel and says, I'm sending you this and I'm going to send a little bit of offering with this testimony or with this message. Amen, that there's some people don't know how to preach a message without an offering. Anyway, that's just on TBN. Anyway, okay. Anyway, we find that he goes and his master sends with him silver and gold, verse 5 here. He departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 shekels of gold and 10 changes of clothing. These were valuable things. Clothing was valuable then. They couldn't go to Walmart and buy a yard or two of material or 5 yards, however big they were. And so they came, and our money today, it would have been something in the area or the value of $58,170. If you can heal this guy of leprosy, this is all yours. And so he sent this letter to the king. And let's notice the response here. Now when it happened, the king of Israel read the letter and he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and make alive that this man sends me a man to heal him of leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me. He's wanting to fuss with me about something. Amen. That's my version. And when Elisha, the prophet of God, heard this, he said, why have you torn your clothes? Now tearing clothes in was a sign of grief and sorrow. And he said, please let him come to me. This is Elisha speaking. He shall know that there's a prophet in Israel. There's somebody here that'll tell him about one true God. He's coming out of Syria. They have no true God there. They worship idols. They don't know anything about the one true God. There's a prophet here who's going to tell him about a one true God. And so we see here that Elisha stands up for his testimony. And salvation and deliverance and spiritual things aren't for sale. We know that. And man's greatest need cannot be purchased. And all the money in this room here would not buy atonement or forgiveness for one single sin that anybody in here has committed. It takes God to do that. Roman Catholicism used to offer forgiveness and reconciliation to God for monetary contribution to the church. That's many years ago. I don't know if they still do or not, but they used to. That's why Martin Luther left the church, one reason. And then you have the Protestant movement and the difference between Protestantism. Is that a word? Protestants and Catholics. And it's not still. There's a lot of things that's happened since then. But you know, no denomination, church, religious organization can atone for sin. Only the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 9:22. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Nothing can be forgiven. Nothing can be taken away except by the blood of Christ. And Elisha says, just let him come here and we'll see. He will know that there's a prophet in Israel. He wasn't bragging on himself, but he was going to show him the one true God. And finally, we have the deliverance of a heathen. And so he comes to Elisha, and Elisha sends an email. No, Elisha says to his servant, go out and meet him and tell him, go to the Jordan River and dip himself 7 times in there and he'll be clean. He'll be free of his leprosy. Oh, that's not what Naaman wanted to hear. He's used to being the high guy. He's used to being the greatest warrior in Syria. And for somebody to send a servant out to him, a slave out to him to give him a message, he wanted something. No great thing was needed. Only obedience was necessary, but he wanted to do something that would earn him the right to be healed. He wanted some great demonstration from the prophet to bring healing. And so Naaman turns around angry and he said, I thought surely he would come out here and wave his hands in the air and call on the name of his God and heal the leper. But it just didn't happen that way. Neither healing, salvation, or God's favor can be earned, regardless of personal achievement, success, or place. And God will not credit mankind with something he gives. Man cannot take credit for something that God does. All glory goes to God. I've never got somebody saved, nor have you. I've never attempted or achieved healing somebody. But God has. Amen. He's done all these things, and all glory goes to him. And in heaven, when we stand before God one day, yes, Lord, people think about, I've got a mansion on the other side of glory land, and many things have been made about that mansion thing. It simply means we will dwell with God. And people say, well, I've just got great reward in heaven. I've been doing good all my life, all my Christian walk. I've done this, I've done that, I've given to the poor, and they may name all of the things they've done for God throughout their life. But you know, in heaven, when we see the face of Jesus, whatever crown rewards we had, we're going to take our crowns off and cast them at his feet, fall on our face and cry, holy. Hallelujah. We're going to see him who died and rose again. Hallelujah. And realize that all we have, it's all of grace. We earn nothing. God gave it. God gives salvation. By grace you're saved through faith. We know that. God gives the Holy Spirit. Amen. And it's not anything that we've earned or done to require God to owe us something. God owes us nothing, and yet God gave us everything. God gives eternal life. God gives us simple obedience to turn to him with all of our heart. So Naaman questions here, are there not better rivers than the muddy Jordan River? There's two rivers that I know of that are clean and they're nice. Why can't I go dip in them and be made clean? At least they symbolize cleanliness. The water there does. I'm not about to go to that muddy Jordan. And so he turned away in a rage. And he had some servants, Naaman did, that were wiser than he was. His servants came near and spoke to him. He said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then, he says to you, wash and be clean. He's saying there's nothing complicated about what the man asked you to do, the prophet asked you to do. Why don't you just do it? And if you don't get clean, you can still be dirty, but you're going to go home dirty anyway if you don't. Okay? That's not in the scripture. That's just me. So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean, 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 spiritually and physically as well. As a matter of fact, this led to his conversion to the one true God. Amen. Verse 15, he says, then he returned to the man of God and came and stood before him and said, indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. So I can tell you, he came from a polytheistic background with a worship of many gods. And he says, now I know there's no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now therefore, please take a gift from your servant. But he said, Elisha said, as the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will receive nothing. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Because his healing had not come because Elisha was a great prophet. His healing had come because God had come on the scene and performed a miracle of deliverance for this man. And God had revealed himself as the one true God. And Naaman's life was changed forever. And he said, if it now please your servant, let 2 mule loads of earth for your servant to be brought to where I'm at, for your servant will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifice to other gods but to the Lord. That is conversion. My friend, he said, I have to go back to where I live, and my master may require me to go to the temple, and I have to follow him there, but I'm not going to serve any other god but one true God, because I know it's been revealed to me today that there is no god in heaven or in earth except the one of Israel's God. Amen. And the breaking of his pride led him to the place of repentance. I want to tell you something today. We know this, but nothing but the blood of Jesus can make you clean. And I'm not as late as I usually am, so I'm going to read one more verse. 1 Corinthians 6. If there was any place that was heathen in the New Testament, it was Corinth. But sinners came out of the church in Corinth, or out of the sinful society of Corinth, and became a church. You see, sinners is the only thing that God has to make a church out of, and Christians out of. But he does graciously. He doesn't save us so we can keep on sinning in the same lifestyle. He saves us from our sins, not so we can sin. Some people got it backwards. 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. Do you not know that unrighteousness will not inherit the kingdom of God? It could not be plainer. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Why do we have to wonder anything? We know. But it doesn't end there. Verse 11. And such were, not are, but were some of you. Paul here reminds the church at Corinth, some of you were bound by all. Some of you were fornicators and idolaters and adulterers and gay. Some of you are thieves. Some of you did awful things. But because you came to Christ, accepted Christ as your Savior, God changed your life. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. He said that to the church in Corinth too, 2 Corinthians 5. He said, but now some of you were, such were some of you lost, but you are washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That's what God can do. Amen. Why do we do missions work? Why do we give to missions? Why do we send missionaries across the earth? Because such were some of us until Jesus saved us. Amen. Praise the Lord. But God saved us. God healed us. God filled us. God gave us a reason to live. And this is the news that everybody in the world needs. Amen. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Gentile. That means every race of people. Praise God. Conversion of a heathen. God can set the captives free. We measure heathens. God doesn't. Lost is lost to God. Saved is saved to God. Praise the Lord.